Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We are back with part two of our exciting toxic career progression episode.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like to have a career? It's been quite a long time now. 300 days, right?
It's funny. Well, like 305 days now.
Oh.
It's funny you say that because I literally, like, when I was just about to say something to you and I was like, oh, never mind. I lost my thought. It was kind of about that. Like I have weird feelings when I talk about work and career now. Like, it's kind of like my old life and I'm a little rusty at speaking about it. Rusty slash uninterested at times. Like, I'm going through this detox kind of. And Greg and I were talking about this the other day. When we've been around friends who are sharing like complex work stories, it's hard to engage and like really care. I don't know a nicer way to say that. I mean, we're polite people. So we like listen and we get it. We remember when we were working and it was cathartic to vent and kind of share some story or you know, complain about some situation. But it's like we both find ourselves where we're like, wow, it's really difficult to listen to and engage in this type of talk right now because we're just so out of it day to day.
Yeah, like, but I find it difficult to do that and I am in it day to day.
Well, it's funny. I think I didn't mind it / enjoyed it when I was working because it was like what my life was filled with.
Yeah.
It was what I knew. It was what was on my mind. But now when people are talking about it, it's just kind of a downer to us. Like, we're like, oh, well, that's a bummer, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a bummer you have to go to work every day. Like, we're just in a weird, I don't know a better way to say it other than we're kind of in this, like, detox period from work. And so it's hard to engage in those discussions. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to put on my big girl pants today and we're going to share some advice. Because I will say, as much as I say it's kind of hard to, like, listen to people complain about work, I actually love giving advice about it because I have 300 plus days now of wisdom on the other side of things. And I had a lot of advice back when I was working. And now I have, like, I think much more measured, like, more measured wisdom to share now, if that makes sense.
Measured wisdom. I like that.
Yeah.
Put that on t-shirt.
We should name the episode that. Part two, measured wisdom.
So we kicked off the first episode reading some emails from some listeners with some great stories. And I think we should read those again to provide some more context or a refresher of the context to this episode.
Mike, I refuse to read them again. You're going to have to pull them from the last episode and replay it.
All right. So we will copy and paste it from the first episode. And here we go. Here's the email number one. I'm currently working for someone that I do not particularly care for, probably the worst manager I've ever worked for. But this is another topic entirely. I have really worked hard to position myself for a promotion and I'm right there. The line has been moved recently, but I see the path and I'm charged to get it. But in doing so, some colleagues, friends, mentors have asked me, why is this title so important? At first, I just blew that off because I'm very focused on constantly growing myself and title has always been the evidence of achievement, I guess. Yes, learning a skill is good and I get warm and fuzzy and yes, I feel I'm compensated well, but I'm very hung up on this title. As a result of being asked this question, I'm now taking a step back and wondering, why am I obsessing over this title? It will get me a little bit more money, a bit more responsibility, but net-net, it won't give me that much more. It is really about the title for me and having that badge and that my peers know that I have achieved that and that my LinkedIn profile continues to show advancement, etc. Net-net, it's all for show. So is it really worth it? Is it worth it to run myself through this stressful state that I'm creating for myself and that I need to prove myself with the title to others? But I just can't shake it. I need it. I also reflect on my career and remember I was in a similar position years ago. I was in consulting and constantly pushing for that next promotion and title. And then I started having kids and my priorities changed. And I looked up and realized that I didn't want to be a partner. That was not the life I wanted or needed. So I went into industry and I took a job with a title that was looked down on by the consulting leadership team that I was working for. Oh, you should never leave the consulting for that title. You should get at least X. And I got a little shamed. So then I started to question the decision. Now I look back and laugh at all those folks. I'm in a way better position than I could have thought and very happy with my decision. So why can't I take that learning and apply it here? Then I also think about my dad and his thoughts that this rat race does not matter when it's all said and done. All that matters is who will be at your funeral. I laughed and I joked, you're right, no one has ever said to him, you're great, but I can't believe you made it to X level, or that one year I can't believe you achieved that KPI or failed so miserably. Sorry for being long-winded, but just wondering if you or Maggie have been through this and why I can't just say F this need to get the next title, but I can't. All right, thank you, past Mike, for reading that. Now, past Maggie, I'll hand it back over to you for letter number two.
I have worked for the same company for almost 17 years, straight out of college, have moved around laterally and stayed through my MBA. The first few promotions I received came very easy to me. When I look back, I think about how much I probably took them for granted and felt like I was so deserving. For the past 8 years, I have been looking for the next promotion. I moved my family across the country and have made many sacrifices in hopes of achieving this North Star. A few years ago, I started to realize that happiness and purpose may not be all wrapped up in this promotion. I continued to make more money and do more rewarding work. I was able to find immense flexibility to attend my children's sporting events and support them with their school activities. I was able to work out and volunteer. And then I was diagnosed with cancer in my late 30s. It was unreal. How could this be happening to me? I didn't share my diagnosis with people at work because I was so afraid that it would affect my ability to get promoted. I thought people would look at me differently. It was through this experience and through much self-searching that I realized my job did not define me. This title did not determine whether or not I was a success. As time goes on and I have focused less on the promotion, I have come closer than ever to getting it. What is clear to me now is that whether I am promoted or not, I will find happiness and peace with where I am. And if the promotion comes, that's great. Why do we let our title have such a big impact on how we determine if we are successful or not? Man, past Maggie sounded so good. She didn't sniffle once.
No, yeah. It's almost like she's been edited.
Yeah. It's almost like someone edited out all my sniffles.
All right. So in this episode, we're going to give a little advice on how to deal with some of the stress and anxiety that comes from this toxic career pressure. And as another refresher of our thoughts, like, careers and progression are great. They are a great way to structure your life and build skills and relationships and be a more productive part of society. I mean, like, there's so many benefits to progressing and achieving things. But when we get so wrapped up in particular hierarchy, it can be detrimental to the satisfaction of our lives. And that's really what we're talking about. There's going to be a different point for everybody where this becomes unhealthy, not a healthy progression in life.
Hey, Mike, before we jump in, I remember one time, this was like a book I read or a blog I was reading or something years ago. And maybe it was in the Playing with Fire documentary, someone's story. But anyways, the person was on a path to financial independence. And at some point, and they kind of had like goals with their families. And at some point, they went to law school, were going to become a lawyer, knew how long it was going to take them to get to financial independence. And then I guess like pretty quickly after law school decided like that's not what they want to do. They wanted to do something that was way less lucrative than that career. And they basically said, but I have to suck it up and practice law for X amount of years to kind of pay back my loans and like make a bunch of money quickly. And they said they kind of thought of it like a prison sentence of like, well, I made this commitment. I've got a 5 year, and they're like, you know, it's not bad prison. Like, they get paid nice, you know, like they got to work hard, but you know, it's not really prison. But they just mentally were like, I have 5 years that I'm committed to do this, and I'm going to kind of suck it up and pay it off. And I always think of that story because I just think of, you know, there's so many different paths in life for how to handle your career, right? Like, I took a path where I had strong career progression and a very successful career, but compressed within 20 years, was able to make a lot of money, save a lot of money, and retire at 41. There's other people who I've actually talked to a number of people online where like they're taking these mini retirements, right? They're making money. They kind of have more consulting-ish jobs and they can go in and out of it very easily and quickly. And they're taking a year off and then they're going back to work for a few years. There's people who, you know, have a lesser paying job, but they have a lot of freedom and flexibility and they work it for 40 years and they're happy doing it. Right. And so I just think about it like there's all these different paths that you can take intentionally with your career. And there's not a right or wrong path, but there are a lot of helpful pieces of advice and solutions that we can offer to help you on your career journey in whatever type of path you choose to take.
Yeah, I agree, Maggie. And everybody's experience with this sort of stress, the need to progress, and everybody's solutions and their eventual lives are going to look completely different. But I would say that we maybe could bucket these into a right and wrong path. And the wrong path is the one where you are unhappy with your life. If you cannot find happiness,
yeah,
there's something wrong and it can be fixed.
Yeah. And I think it's a right and wrong path for different people, right? Mm-hmm. So what's
happy, what makes somebody happy is not going to be the same. You're absolutely right. Okay. So let's jump into our wisdom, Maggie, our advice.
Measured wisdom.
Measured wisdom.
Measured wisdom.
All right. So the first point, really in line with this podcast, is work to eliminate the need for financial growth. People kind of get very tied into title progression and career progression because they need the money, because their lifestyles have inflated to a point where they cannot find an alternative other than to continue growing their income. And that can be really tough for people.
Well, and back to the like kind of right and wrong, and which is really more like happy and unhappy. It could be really miserable for people, right? Mm-hmm. You look on the outside, you look like you have this amazing, successful life, but you're really living paycheck to paycheck, trying to hold up this life that's heavily financed and heavily leveraged and that you haven't already paid for, but that you're, you know, you've got like revolving debt every month you've got to pay.
If you can work to reduce your need for more money, then a lot of this is going to be solved for you. And so if you can control your lifestyle inflation, reduce your costs, you can get better at investing and grow your wealth in other ways. If you can find yourself at a point where you don't need any money, or at least more money, then you're going to subconsciously, like the desire to rise up the ranks is going to start to diminish.
Yeah. And if you need some inspiration on this topic, we've got 150 plus episodes that touch on
this is like
some
our
version.
Podcast. This is
some version of what Mike just said. Not every episode, but almost every episode touches on some flavor of lifestyle inflation, just everything that you, all the advice and the playbook you need to eliminate your need to constantly make more money. Another point we talked about in a bunch of ways in the first part of this, which is the reality that your friends and family really don't care too much about your professional accomplishments. And if you don't realize this or you need proof with this, you know, you can experiment, have some discussions with your friends and family to understand how they care about your professional accomplishments. And look, this is not true for all parents, Mike. I think you and I are blessed with parents who want us to be happy. And we're also able to, like, you know, take care of ourselves, which I'm sure they appreciate. But I think we both have parents that, you know, just want us to be happy for the right reasons. Not everyone has that. Some people have parents there, and culturally, there's certain cultures that are even more heavily driven towards, you know, if you're not a doctor or a lawyer, like, you're a failure, right? And I didn't make that statement up, by the way. Like, I've heard that a million times. So just the reality, I get that this is not the reality for everyone's family per se, but a lot of people will have family and particularly friends that are very supportive of them being happy for the right reasons, right? And so if you think that your friends are going to be, gosh, Mike, this is so similar to like other things we've talked about where your big thing is like nobody cares, right? Mm-hmm. And if they do care, do you really want them to be your friend? Like, if you think your friends are only friends with you because of your title or accomplishments, first off, like, they probably shouldn't be your friends. Those aren't good friends, right? I'm not going to comment on family because family is complicated and you can't change your family, but you can change your friends. You can choose your friends, right? And so I think, yeah, have thought-provoking discussions with friends about what really matters, about what you're hung up on, about title. Like that email that one of the, you know, listener questions that we shared, Mike, those people could go talk to their friends and family and say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. I'm so focused on title and I'm so caught up. And I bet the response, just like the one person shared from their dad, I bet the response from a lot of their friends would be like, we don't care what your title is, right? We want you to be happy. That's what I would say for my friends. Like, I don't even know what most of my friends' actual titles are. If it weren't for LinkedIn, I wouldn't know what...
Me too.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't know what title they... I mean, I happen to know certain people are in, like, leadership positions, certain people aren't, and I more know it just because of the types of things we talk about and stuff, but I don't know their exact title. And even if I did, I don't know what it means. Title mean different things at different companies, and I don't care, right? I care that they're happy. I care that they're, you know, making enough money to, you know, live their lives and support their families and be happy in whatever way matters to them.
And you care that you have fun when you're with them and you're not at work with them. So why the hell do you care?
And if anything, like these days, I care. I love my friends that have time and, you know, flexibility and, you know, my friends that have big titles and are stressed out at work and don't ever have time for anything. Like that doesn't help me. I'm not saying it's about me. I'm just saying, like, you think about what a friend wants from you. They want your friendship. They don't really care how successful you are at work per se. I'm not saying they don't want you to be happy and get what you want and desire in life, but they want you and your time and availability, and they want to hang out with you, right? And it's actually the opposite, right? Like the more you're working, the less they have of you, and the more you're focused on that. And so anyways, I think the point is, remember and let the realization sink in, back to the, like, funeral examples, right? That, like, your friends and family, they want you to be happy, but they're not hung up on your professional accomplishments,
right?
And if they are, they're hung up on the wrong things.
The next piece of advice is related to something that I shared a few episodes ago, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what we were talking about, but it's about identifying tasks that you are happy with.
I bet it was our promotion episode.
Was it? It might have been.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, Maggie, you and I have both read Designing Your Life, which is an incredible book, and we highly recommend it. One of the activities in that book was to keep a daily log of, like, everything that you do in your job and then rank them according to your satisfaction. So you'd be like, wrote an email to somebody to go do this, and how happy did that make you? Went to a meeting and met with X, Y, and Z. How happy did that make you?
They call it a satisfaction log.
Is that right? What it's called?
Yeah, I think it's called a satisfaction log.
So I did this. I kept one for a while. When I was very unhappy in a job, and before I started at my current company, I spent 18 months at an insurance company and it was miserable. And so I did this, and it was just like, it has stuck with me since. And what I found is that there are tasks that I enjoy doing. And I think a lot of people can identify some very simple things that they do over the course of their workday that give them a lot of satisfaction. It could be public speaking. That could also terrify people. It could be building some Excel model by themselves. It could be getting on a call and going through a checklist. You know, it could be, there's very basic things that are going to provide you a lot of satisfaction. If you go through your day and you map out what those things are, I think what you'll find is that it's all the little things that would probably go away if you got promoted, if you got a different title, if you changed jobs. And so if you can focus on the little tasks that make you happy, then your desire to go do something different is probably going to go down.
Mike, I'm a big fan of this, and I'm going to say this a slightly different way too, because you're kind of talking about kind of the specific tasks, which I think are important, but it's just at a higher level, like what you enjoy doing, right? And I remember, I think I told this story in some previous episodes probably, but I remember people that would come to me and say, I'd say like, what do you want to do? Like what they were kind of unhappy in what they were doing now. And they're like, well, I want to be a director. And I'm like, cool. A director is not a job. Like, what do you like doing? What do you want? Like, do you want to send more emails and manage more meetings and create more PowerPoint? Like, that's what most directors do. But do you like understanding, I think, the tasks like you're talking about is so important, because people often are hung up on a title, on just some sort of kind of status symbol versus actually finding joy in the work. And I think sometimes when people talk about finding joy in the work, they're like, oh, that's so kind of pie in the sky. Like, that's not a reality. I need a job. Nobody likes their job, right? And that's not true. I think there are, I went through that same exercise when I read that book that you suggested, Mike, Designing Your Life. And I realized like there's things that really do fill me up. And that's kind of what they talk about. Like what drains your energy versus what fills you up and kind of creates energy and puts you in a state of flow. And as you realize what those things are, and you have to kind of start with the individual tasks like you're talking about, you slowly start to realize like, oh, I really like task related to management, or I hate that stuff, or, you know, and you start to get a better shift. And then that's where I actually believe the career progression comes over time, when you get into your sweet spot and you start doing the things you really enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's a great point. And keeping track of what you like and don't like also helps you better evaluate future opportunities, because as you rise up, the jobs change. You know, like they are different jobs. They require different types of skills and you lean into different things. And so like if you manage like one person and you had like a really difficult experience where they were underperforming and you had to like deal with them and their personal issues, as you go up, it's like multiplied by 100, you know, you don't have less of that. You have a lot more of that. And so if that's what you really don't like, then maybe going up the ladder is not the right move for you.
Yeah, it's a great point. Another piece of advice is to seek out more flexibility. So many people end up on this kind of treadmill of wanting more and more and more, and they're making more and more sacrifices as a result. And we're actually suggesting do the opposite, seek out more flexibility. This is one of the things, Mike, when I look back at like, you know, my joke about measured wisdom now, thinking, you know, I was making more and more sacrifices over the years. And it wasn't until a year before I retired that I really stated like, I need more flexibility, and started on a journey towards getting to part-time work. And then I shifted to 80%, and I was eventually going to maybe shift to 3 days a week. I kind of had moved from 5 days a week to 4 days a week and was maybe going to go down to two or three. That's when I just decided to fully retire. There are more and more companies these days that are willing to provide some level of flexibility. And depending on how long you've been there, your general success rate so far, and kind of how you're thought of, most people, there's no harm in asking, right? And a lot of people, you'd be surprised what people will give you when you ask. And so, you know, at a very base level, use all your vacation. Right? Like most people don't even use all their vacation and they're given it. Some companies now have unlimited vacation because most people never use all their vacation anyways. And it's a nice, you know, perk to claim you offer. And people don't actually take any more vacation when they're given unlimited vacation. But use all your vacation. Consider part-time options. Take your summers off. Like Mike's been doing, you know, extend, maybe not the entire summer, but extended periods of time off over the summer, or perhaps over a different time period that is helpful to you and that works with your company. And then, you know, if you can't get that much formal flexibility, because that isn't in the cards for everyone, set boundaries, right? We did a whole episode on setting boundaries recently, and set boundaries and be at the stuff that matters. Because one of the things I learned over the years, and it took me a while to realize this, it was like a problem I had. Nobody else was stopping me from doing this. Is, you know, when nobody once said a single thing to me when I would start to say, I can't be at that. I have to go to this program at my daughter's school. I need to be at this thing. I've already made a commitment. I blocked it on my calendar a week ago, or some emergency came up and she just got called home from school sick and I've got to go pick her up, right? You realize when something like happens, well, first off, you realize when you prioritize things that you can, you just have to do it. You have to set those boundaries and prioritize those things. And that might be how you're creating more flexibility. It might be in these micro moments, not in like shifting to part-time or taking your summers off, but saying, hey, when my kids have something at school, I'm going to prioritize that and I'm going to be there. But you also realize in like crises that you can do that. COVID was a crisis when we all realized we could work from home effectively, but it took a crisis for companies to realize that and kind of let us do that. And when we have a mini crisis where, you know, our kid's sick or there's a health challenge or the person who wrote in who has cancer, mm-hmm. which is so, so sad. And I really, you know, feel for them. And, you know, if they had been comfortable, and I'm guessing eventually they shared it with their coworkers, but in the beginning, if they had felt comfortable, I know at Mike, at our company, nobody would even think twice if I said I had cancer and then was like, look, I've got to go to treatment 3 times a week. I've got to, you know, I need more flexibility. Like, crises show us that flexibility is possible. And it sometimes it takes a crisis for us to realize that, but you don't have to wait for a crisis is my point. You need to build it in yourself and prioritize it. And it is possible. So here we are giving you permission and telling you, you don't need a crisis to go find that flexibility, figure out what's right for you, maybe start small and build up over time and realize that the world is not going to end and nobody's going to fire you when you start taking a little bit more flexibility. And the other thing I'd say, I said this in our promotions episode, Mike, this is also a realize you got to give and take, right? This is a give and take thing, right? You can't constantly take flexibility and then never give when there's like a problem at the company that you need to help with, right? So you need to be that person that's like willing to chip in when you can and willing to go above and beyond. And people will see that, right? So it doesn't always need, like, it can't always be about you and it can't always be about the company, right? It really does have to be some give and take in there. And I think that's how you earn the respect to be able to take more flexibility over time and have more autonomy over time.
And if you find yourself in an organization where they're like, well, if you go part-time, you're never going to get promoted, then like that's sort of the trade-off. And you can decide you can go somewhere else, or you can say, yep, yeah, I'm okay not getting promoted. I'd rather have this time off.
Yeah, that might be okay. And that's great that they were upfront with you about it. Now you know what trade-offs you're making.
The next piece of advice is going to be surround yourself with like-minded people, or, you know, listen to this podcast or read blogs for people that share your attitudes about this kind of daily struggle with jobs. So I think back to meetings I've had with different individuals, and some of them, they jump into be like, oh, you know, what are your next two roles and where are you going to be in 5 years? And some of them are like, oh, you know, where are you going on vacation this summer? And you can totally tell like where people's minds are. And if you are surrounded by a bunch of people who care about promotions and their careers at the expense of other things, then that is where you're going to find the pressure. And if you listen to this podcast and, you know, you're listening to Maggie and Mike talk about, you know, traveling with their kids all the time, you're going to find some inspiration to go do those things. And so, like anything, surround yourself with people who support your goals, not the ones who are pushing you in a direction you may not want to go.
Yeah, you know, there's that saying, Mike, of you're the sum of who you surround yourself with. Right. And it sometimes like you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with, you know, all these different things. But it really does matter who you surround yourself with and the voices that are around you. And you have control over that. Right. And so I think it is really important and something that I actually wasn't good at doing in my career, other than, you know what I was good at doing? I stayed really good friends with all of my high school friends. My whole life were still good friends. And we're all just like a normal bunch of people. And we don't talk about our careers in any sort of like, I mean, it's just a mix of different types of jobs and people. And I wasn't around a lot of influences that other than at work every day, right? In my personal life, I wasn't around a lot of people that were overly focused on, like, in my opinion, like the wrong things. And again, I'm not knocking people who have career aspirations, but I mean the wrong things in terms of like things that aren't going to make me happy. And they were more focused on, you know, just, am I happy in my life? Am I, you know, just how are my kids? Like everything else. They were there to help me through my divorce, all these things that matter in life. And they weren't people who were just, you know, asking me about my next promotion and how much money I was making. And, you know, they didn't care about, they don't care about what I did for a living.
One of the most impactful memories I have was when I was at AT&T and I was in a analytics group. And
I thought you were going to say it was when we first met, but keep going with this AT&T story.
It's in a separate category.
You said it was one of the most. So I know what the most impactful is.
So there's this one guy. He was the best performing manager in that group. I was a manager at the time. And everybody was constantly like, well, this guy's going to get promoted. And all the leaders were like, are you sure? Do you want to take this, you know, director job? And he's like, no, not interested. And I talked to him about this. And he was just like, why would I want that? It's more work. It's not that much more money. I get to leave at 4:30 and nobody asks any questions. And I go and get to spend a lot of time with my kids. Like, what? This is what I want. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I was young at the time. And I was like, I never thought that, like, you know, people could want to do something other than, you know, get more out of their jobs. And it was super impactful. And I think about it to this day. And so one of the pieces of advice I have is, like, go talk to some people who seem like they don't care about job progress and just get their thoughts. It may really resonate with you.
I mean, there could be some people that are just kind of like lazy and bad at their jobs. But
this guy was the best at his job.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. That was half joking. But you're right. There are so many people that we often would judge. And we're like, gosh, why has that person been in that job for so long? And we would almost, I think people would
care, right? That's what we
think. They would look down upon them. Yeah. Like they must not be, people must not be noticing what they're, all these things. And I think that point of talking to people and understanding their why and understanding like what motivates them is incredibly powerful and inspiring. And so when you meet different people, like get curious, ask them what motivates them, ask them what, you know, what makes them tick, and then decide if you want to spend more time around those people, right? Because the back to the point of, you know, surround yourself with people who, you know, support the lifestyle and the choices that you want to make and the things that you value and that you want to be intentional about in life. So another point related to other people and surrounding yourself with people is stop comparing yourself to others. We've talked about this on so many levels. Like this is a helpful piece of financial advice. This is a helpful piece of career advice. I often think about the discussions that I would have with people about career progression and their own careers. And so much of the discussion was focused on other people and what's happening in their jobs and in their roles. And hey, let me make a quick side point, Mike.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb that you don't watch The Bachelor.
I do not watch The Bachelor.
Okay. Shout out to Price of Avocado Toast. They're one couple, Justin and Haley, that I happen to know do watch The Bachelor, and every now and then we'll exchange some DMs on this. Because look, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of people. Actually, one of my good friends, Mary, also watches The Bachelor. I don't know if she's watching this season. But anyways, there's this whole sort of joke, trend in every season of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, doesn't matter what it is, that the contestants who are all worried about other people, they're like the right reasons police. They're worried about everyone else's relationships, not their own. They don't end well. Those people don't do well. They're so focused on everybody else. They are not focused on their own relationship with the person that they are trying to, you know, have become their spouse, whatever. It's a guilty pleasure for what it's worth, the TV show. But it's the same thing, right? Like if you are at work and you spend all your energy looking at these other three people and saying, well, how come they're advancing more quickly than me? You don't have all the information. You're not in their day-to-day lives. You don't realize what they're doing well, what they're not doing well. You don't know all their skill sets. You cannot objectively compare yourself to all these other people. And not only can you not do it because you're not in all those specifics, like I as a manager, you didn't see all the things that I would see. And I can't tell you all the reasons why this person was promoted and that person wasn't and you weren't and whatever. But you also mentally don't want to spend a lot of time there. It is not helpful. Right. If you are spend more time in the grateful category of I'm grateful I have a good job with a decent company. I'm, you know, grateful I get a consistent paycheck, that I'm paid fairly. Hopefully you're paid fairly for what you do. If not, go listen to our episode about how to ask for a raise. But you just, you can't spend your time comparing yourself to others. You will be miserable. Instead, shift to focusing on yourself and all the things we've talked about here, right? But I think one of my biggest things in life are all forms of happiness, including career happiness, is do not compare yourselves to others. Those people might be miserable too, right? The people you see that
are,
like,
they probably are.
They got the promotion, they got the extra $10,000, but they're dealing with $100,000 worth of new BS every day.
Right.
And it might not be worth it.
The ones who seem to be, you know, performing a life that is very positive probably has a lot of underlying problems. You know, I think we see this in social media all the time. Like, that is a curated version of a life, not a real life. And so, you know, there's really no point in trying to compare yourself to someone where you don't know the details, to your point, Maggie.
Yeah, that's a great reference, Mike. What you see at work, it's a curated version of what that person wants you to see.
Right. Now, the next piece of advice is that, you know, things like validation and praise and, you know, rewards and recognition, those are like good things, and it's okay to want those things. You don't have to find them at work, though. Like, there are plenty of competitive outlets and different organizations and teams and stuff out there in the community that you can go participate in and find growth there too. And so don't limit yourself to opportunities that exist only within your company. Go explore them outside, and you might find that the praise you get from being involved in community functions far exceeds the praise you get from doing good work at a company.
Yeah. I was about to make a joke, Mike, of like, go be the PTA president. It's like, I'm only half joking. It's actually a great way to get some leadership experience and kind of try out certain things also and see if it brings you joy, right? And you're giving back to your community. So like, I'm half joking when I say go be the PTA president, but I'm not. Go be the PTA president. They need you, and you get to be in a cool leadership position. And you're going to get a lot of validation and praise from doing a role like that. So also in designing your life, one of the big themes is about, well, as the title says, designing your life. So the idea of creating a vision for your whole life and figuring out the role that work should play in that is really our last piece of advice here in our thought. So I said this early on, Mike, or I said this maybe in part one. I talked about this leadership class I took at work probably 10 years ago. And they asked a question at the very beginning of the like couple day session. It was, do you work to live or do you live to work? And that's such a simple question, but I was like mind blown. I am living to work at the time. I had my priorities all inside out. I was just overly dedicated and focused on work. It was too big of a piece of my life and identity and everything else. And my priorities were out of whack. I wasn't living as healthy of a lifestyle as I wanted. I was just working too much. I wasn't sleeping enough. I wasn't being healthy enough. Just a bunch of things. And that was like a turning point for me of just realizing, and that was company endorsed and sponsored, by the way, too. Like, I have a pretty like optimistic view that like most companies that, whether they do it for the right reasons or not, they need people to be happy for them to have a successful and functioning workforce. And so they want you to work to live. I don't know if they'd use that terminology, but they want you to be happy. They want you to find some balance in your life because they know if you don't, it only lasts so long.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and
did they know that you were just going to quit a few years later.
Well, what's funny is I often think like if they, you know, when you were talking about like your friend in HR that's at a big company, like I often think when they look at someone like me, are they like, you know, I know companies invest and put a lot into people, particularly leaders, and they want them to stay. That's the goal. And I often think when they look at someone like me, are they like, was that a success or not? Like, because I stayed for 15 years, and that's longer than the average person stays, right? Or were they like, oh, we invested too much in her and then she left? Doesn't matter, but I sometimes think about that.
But to close out the point you're making, Maggie. If you can create a vision for your whole life, you can better arrange the pieces within it. One piece is work, but it's not the entire piece. Having some time to reflect on why you're doing things and what are important is part of life. And I think the most impactful thing you can do to help with the stress of toxic career progression and just finding happiness in your current job. All right. I hope that our listeners who wrote in those wonderful notes either had some validation of their thoughts or maybe had some additional thoughts that helped them manage this. And for everybody else, I hope that this has been relevant for your lives and you'll maybe make a little incremental improvement in how you manage some of these stressors.
So, Mike, I was actually looking back at those two stories and questions and thinking, like, did we address everything? Did we answer them? And some of them weren't, you know, questions per se, as they more were pontificating on kind of where they're at in life and what they're struggling with. But, you know, just the first person was obsessing about title and, you know, their peer, they wanted their peers to know that they've achieved that and they need to prove themselves with a title to others. And, you know, I think through their own message, they realized they didn't, right? And that was a, to use your word, right, a toxic way to think about their career and not a healthy way to think about it. And eventually that person said to themselves, that's not the life I wanted or needed. And I like, just as you were just finishing up on the point of kind of designing the life you want, like realizing the point, the reason we have these discussions is we want to help people realize what will truly make them happy in life and then design their life around that. Right. And it is something that, Mike, you and I both care about and are passionate about. It's why we keep doing this podcast, right? We've heard from so many people that it is helpful, that it is a meaningful piece of their journey and you know, learnings along their own journey and helps different people. And it's helped us.
Yeah, and it has.
Yeah. And we enjoy, like, we keep doing it because we see that it is valuable to other people.
Now, I will tell this listener, you should get a new boss. Nothing ruins your life more than a bad boss. And so if this man or woman is like making you miserable on a daily basis, you should go find a new job.
Yeah, what did they say? They started with probably the worst manager I have ever worked for, but that is another topic.
Go find somebody
entirely.
Else to work for. I've been there. Actually, it's bad.
It is bad. And Mike, I'll say I have not really been there for most of my career, but that's one where when I think about when I used to say, like, what do you care the most about, that you're like the work you're doing, the title, the money? The other one I forgot to say is that I'm working for someone where I feel respected and appreciated. Right.
It could
and
be
I
the
had
most
that.
Important thing.
Yeah. I had that for the bulk of my career. So I wasn't super concerned about the title. I was like, I want to feel like I'm getting paid fairly for the work I'm doing. And I want to be working for someone and around other people that respect me and treat me well. And I had that. I had those two things. And so I didn't care about the title. I got lucky with some title. I say lucky because I did work hard for it. But I wasn't constantly pushing for a title or a promotion. It came from, you know, doing good work and being in the right place at the right time. But that piece about the boss, like, I'd want to get out of that situation as quickly as possible. So that might be our only final thing, you're right, that we did not address.
Have a good boss, and listener number one, get a new one.
Yeah. But to the second person, when they ended with, why do we let our title have such a big impact on how we determine if we are successful or not? I think we've broken that down on why. And then look, the answer in the end is don't let it, right? I'm gonna wrap this up, Mike.
All right, let's do it.
The reference that I made earlier. It is the same thing with money, right? Don't let your house have a big impact on how we determine if we're successful or not, right? I've told y'all these stories before. It drives me crazy when we're like driving through my neighborhood or someone else's neighborhood, and my kids will point to what looks like a big fancy house and be like, "Oh my gosh, they must be rich." And I'm like, "Nope, they're probably in debt, guys. They're probably like maybe they're rich, but." They also might be, you know, super stressed about how they're going to pay their mortgage next month if someone loses their job. And so I really am very passionate about this. Like, don't let your title have a big impact on whether you're successful or not. Like, figure out what really matters to you and look inward and be intentional. And don't get caught up in this very consumeristic society that we is unfortunately the reality that we live in. Like, buck the trend and don't let it.
And with that, let's hit our top three takeaways.
Number one, related to what I was just talking about, actually, everybody goes through this, and it is normal to have these feelings of, you know, our titles being tied to our identity and whether we're successful or not.
And number two, you know, going back to our listeners' question and the reference to the rat race, decide if the race is one you're really interested in. And if not, step off the track.
Number three, your job does not define you. The people who care about you will continue to be there for you no matter what your title is. Hey, I'm living proof of that, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still friends.
I haven't lost any friends since I left. I mean, I see different people day to day now, but nobody is no longer friends with me because I am not a vice president at work. And if that's why they were friends with me in the first place, then like, good riddance. C'est la vie. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please share this episode with a friend, family member, or colleague, since we're talking about work stuff. We truly believe that talking to friends about money improves and deepens your relationships, and it is why we started this podcast. So please help us spread the word and share it with a friend.
You can also rate and review the show and subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Okay, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye.